This evening, I would like to invite you to open to Luke chapter 15 and verses 25 through 32. Luke chapter 15 and verses 25 through 32. And maybe you're kind of familiar with Luke chapter 15, and you remember that that is where the parable of the prodigal son is located. And that is such a dear parable to many. And of course, in that parable, Jesus talks about the father who had two sons, and one of them went and spent all of his inheritance upon riotous living, and when that ran out, he had no friends left. He ended up in a pig pen, and he came to himself and he said, "You know, even the slaves in my father's house are better off than I am." And so he went home. His father welcomed him with open arms and received him back and threw a big party for him because he said, "This my son was once dead, but is now alive." And so we're familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. But have you heard the parable of the other prodigal son? Because that's what I want to talk about tonight. The other prodigal son. Not the one that we are normally interested in studying about, but the one that Jesus really is telling this parable to. Because I want you to notice the context of the parable of the prodigal son, and I want you to see that the parable itself really isn't about that son that's come home and that's received into his house, although it is in a lot of ways. But Jesus spoke this parable to a different context. And so let's look at this parable together as we think about the parable of the other prodigal son. Now look in Luke chapter 15, first of all, in verses 1 and 2. And I think you'll kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about when we talk about the parable of the other prodigal son. Now it says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, saying." So who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to those who were criticizing his preaching the gospel to those who needed to hear it, to the Pharisees and the scribes. Now I want you to read with me Luke chapter 15, verses 25 through 32 now, and we'll read the parable of the other prodigal son. A lot of times we don't really talk about this when we talk about this parable, but this whole lesson tonight is going to be about him. "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came who had devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" You see, the Pharisees were upset with Jesus because he was eating with these publicans and sinners. And they couldn't believe that Jesus truly represented God's will because he did this. And these criticisms were leveled against Jesus on more than one occasion. In fact, you can read through Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, and Matthew 11, 19, Mark 2, 15 and 16, Luke 5, 30, Luke 7, 34, and Luke 15, 1. And these are all places where Jesus is criticized for going out and having association with people like tax collectors and sinners and harlots, even prostitutes. But of course, he was preaching the gospel to them. Jesus always made it clear that he was taking these opportunities to teach them the gospel. And he didn't let the sinners and publicans off easy, in fact. If you read about some of the things that he said to them, a lot of times he's telling them, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Also in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. You see, he tells them to repent and to change their lives. And when they would do such a thing, such as Zacchaeus, for example, who said, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything wrongfully from any man, I restore it fourfold. Now that was not just a tax collector, but the chief of tax collectors. And Jesus said of him, this day has salvation come into his house. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't like this. Because they had ostracized all of these other people, and they were not part of their little group. They were not part of their clique, if you will. And so Jesus has to deal with the other prodigal son. So let's think about that other prodigal son this evening. In regard to the other prodigal son, first of all, we want to take note of his knowledge. His knowledge. The other prodigal son knew some things. And he knew these things, and he really didn't do anything about what he knew. And so he didn't act responsibly in that regard. For example, Jesus starts this parable with the sentence, a certain man had two sons. Now that's interesting to me, because it's not just about that one son, it's about both of them. You see, the older son knew the younger son by virtue of the fact that they were both of the same father. These two were brothers. They were likely raised together and knew each other, and they would have studied together and worked together. The older son knew the younger son's desires. It wasn't a private matter that the younger son went to the father and asked for his inheritance. The older knew about that. He would have at least asked, where is my brother? Where did he go? No, but you see, when he comes back, he knows what that younger brother had been doing. The older son knew the inheritance that he would receive from the father as well. In fact, in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 17, it indicates that the firstborn was to receive a double portion of inheritance. And with the younger son sent away with his inheritance, well now you see, all that was left would belong to him. And what kind of thinking would that produce in him? You see, the older son knew the younger son left, and he knew why the younger son left. He probably knew where and what the younger son was going to do after he left. Yet we never read of the older son advising the younger son not to leave or even giving him a warning. Now think about what the Bible says about this in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verses 18 through 19. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked and turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You see, we each have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ to look out for them, to warn them regarding dangers, to encourage them when they need encouragement, to help one another in that regard. And a lot of times we'll simply tell ourselves, well, you know, I really can't do anything, when that's not the case at all. We need to be more responsible in that regard and make some efforts, even at the cost of possibly ostracizing people that we know to be our friends. We still need to make those efforts for their sake and for the Lord's sake. Yes, the older son knew about the younger son, and yet in this parable, he does virtually nothing. Well, he knew when the younger son had returned as well, as we just read in Luke 15, 25 through 27, that he had returned safe and sound. He knew that his father was rejoicing and giving away his inheritance. Think about that for a moment. That fatted calf was going to be his one day. You see, everything that was left in the house was his inheritance because the younger son had already received his inheritance. And so now the father is giving away what he considers to be his. And he's envious of the younger son. And he's also jealous of what he thinks his own possessions are. And sin has taken hold of him. And we know this because of the knowledge that he had. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, it's not necessarily easy to go to someone and talk to them about something amiss that may be within their life or whatever. But if we love them, we will do that. And we will do it in a meek and humble way. So in regard to the other prodigal son, first of all, we note his knowledge. But secondly, we note his attitude. Look at what verses 28 through 30 say. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this son of yours came, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Wow. That's a pretty bad attitude, isn't it? He was angry. You know, I'm reminded of what the Bible says about Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verses 5 through 7 after the Lord didn't really receive his sacrifice. And he was angry with his brother Abel. And his countenance changed. His face drooped, you know. You could tell there was something wrong with him because of how he appeared. And because of the anger that was in his heart, he killed his brother. He was envious. He was prideful. And because of those things, he became angry. We're reminded of the prophet Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. There, Jonah talks about the anger that was in his heart as well at the people of Nineveh because God wanted to save them. Jonah didn't really want that to happen. In Proverbs 19 and verse 11, we read these words, "The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." That means instead of being angry and holding something against someone, as this other prodigal son did, we need to pass over things. Let things go and let them alone. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't love someone and we don't try to help them and deal with whatever's going on within their life. We do. But it also doesn't mean that we continue to hold a grudge against someone, to continue harbor that hatred against them, that anger against them, so that we think that something has to be done about that. Well, something does need to be done about that, but it needs to be done within us, not within them. Proverbs 29 verse 22 says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Ephesians 4 and verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." He was angry. But he was also selfish. He was more concerned about himself than his brother. Look how many times he says, "I and me and my" here in verse 29. "I have been serving you. I never transgressed. You never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." Oh, he was selfish, wasn't he? The Bible tells us that we can't afford to be that way. We can't afford to be selfish like that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Look not at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." 1 Corinthians 10 verse 24 says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's good." And in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, Paul writes, "Love does not seek its own." You see, selfishness hurt this other prodigal son. But he was also envious. He wanted what the other son had. He had the "I want one too" syndrome. And this happens so much, you know, among children especially. They see what their brother or sister might have, and I want one of those. They may see something that happens in regard to time given to one versus another. "Well, I want that time." Whatever it might be. There's a lot of envy that goes on among brothers and sisters. And we really do need to address those things. But there's a lot of envy that goes on within the body of Christ also. We see others who have things that we don't have, and maybe we desire those. Or we see attention being given to a brother or sister in Christ, and maybe we would like to have that attention. We need to put envy away from our lives. Pilate knew that the Jews had delivered up Jesus because of envy. Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Listen to Proverbs 27, verse 4. If you thought anger is bad, envy is worse. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Titus chapter 3 and verse 37. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So envy is something that we don't need within our lives. So he was angry. He was selfish. He was envious, but he was also covetous. He was also covetous or greedy. His brother was banqueting on his inheritance. He was chawing it down right there in front of him. That's my inheritance. Oh, he wanted it all right. We're reminded of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 through 21 who said, you know, I have all of this stuff and my barns aren't able to hold it. What am I going to do with it? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and I'll build bigger barns. And what did the Lord say to him? Tonight, your life will be required of you. In 1 John chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, we read this, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 Timothy 6 verses 17 through 19, Paul writes, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, we're not supposed to be covetous, no. And so we read here about the other prodigal son's attitude, his anger, his selfishness, his envy, and his covetousness. But then finally, we read about his true possessions, the things that he was overlooking, the things that he was forgetting about because he was blinded by his own sin. Now, what was he overlooking? First of all, he had his father. Think about that for a moment. In verse 31, we read, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and what I have is yours. He forgot who his father was, and he forgot what his father had. He had his father, and we have our father. In Romans 8, in verses 14 through 15, we read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, if you ever feel like this other prodigal son felt, and you say to yourself, well, I should have what they, and you envy what others have, remember what you have. Remember what you do have, not what you don't have. So many times we look at what we don't have and we make that about our life when we should be looking at what we do have. And one of the things we have as Christians is a relationship with God whereby we can call Him our Father. Now that's a great relationship. Galatians 4 verses 6 and 7, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He had his father. But secondly, he still had his inheritance. Look at what the father said. All that I have is thine. You know, the only reason he didn't have that fatted calf was because he wasn't in there with his brother eating it. Now think about that for a minute. He took his own inheritance away from himself because of his bad attitude. You see, he had it all along. We should consider that the power that we have to exercise over the things that we have within our lives is not a power to take something away from other people, but it is a power to enjoy it with them. The Christian has all things, you see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 21 and following, Paul writes this, therefore let no man glory in men. And then he says this, for all things are yours. And he's talking specifically about these preachers that they were dividing over at Corinth. You know, some were saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. This division that had occurred because they were jealous of what they had. But the Christian has all things. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. Why is it that we don't believe that all things are ours? Because we start thinking about what we don't have instead of thinking about what we do. We have a great inheritance as well. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh yes, we have a great inheritance. But then also, among His true possessions, He had His Father, He had His inheritance, but the one thing He didn't think about, He had His brother. And that's so much more than that inheritance. He had His brother. What really didn't happen here was that the older son did not value the relationship with his brother as he ought to have. He placed things above people. And he started loving people, or started loving things and using people instead of using things and loving people. You see, that's what we need to do. Love people. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you do not need that I need to write unto you, for you are taught of God to love one another. Let brotherly love continue, Hebrews 13 and verse 1, and see that you love one another from a pure heart fervently, 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. But he didn't love his brother, and he gave in to sin, and he became the other prodigal son. Now there's the really sad story in this whole parable. Not the bad things that the first prodigal son did. Yeah, he did some bad things. Yeah, he shouldn't have done those things. But he repented and he came back. But here's one. His story is sad because he has no love within his heart. So we see an older brother who's outside the father's house, stewing in his anger, his bitterness, and his jealousy. And the truth of the matter was, it was right there in front of him the whole time, and he gave it up. What will our attitudes be toward others? Will we be the other prodigal son? I sure hope not. I sure hope that we'll learn from this parable, and that we'll strive to love everyone, to bring them back into the fold, to recognize that our brother and sister in Christ, maybe who isn't faithful, is deserving of our efforts to go out and talk to them and love them and bring them back. Yes, let's learn from the other prodigal son and do what's right within our lives so that we won't really exclude ourselves from the Father's house. Now, in that regard, there may be some prodigals who are out there tonight. Maybe there are some of the first kind who need to come to Jesus, renounce the sin that's in your life, repent, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, and come to Him, and be part of the Father's house. But maybe there's some prodigals of that second kind who need to repent of sinful attitudes and make changes so as to restore yourself to the fellowship that you've really taken yourself out of in the Father's house. Whatever the needs are tonight, we offer this invitation for all the prodigals, whether for the original prodigal son or for the other prodigal son. You can come now while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.